be creative. Like, if you think of an idea, if it's legal,
yes,
try it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you don't have
to. Make sure it's legal. Don't try to bend rules, break rules, think no one is going to notice, because people will notice and you'll get in trouble and it's not worth it.
And the other thing is, all of these different ways, you still want to use a title company, some sort of closing company to close the transaction. Mm-hmm. This isn't like, oh, you won my raffle. Here's mm-hmm. the deed.
I know people sell properties on eBay without mm-hmm. going through a title company and stuff, but you know, they might be dealing with a $2,000 property or something.
It always makes sense just to make sure that you're doing it the right way.
Welcome to Turning Profit, a podcast for people that love real estate. Learn the business models and skills that professional real estate investors use to make money and build wealth. Visit TurningProfit.com for a wealth of investor resources. And now, here are your hosts, Pete and Heather Reese.
Welcome to the Turning Profit podcast. Heather, it's so great to be here once again.
It is great to be here with me.
Right, right. I'm so lucky, aren't I?
So lucky. What are we even talking about today?
Today is an exciting topic. We're talking about 7 ways to sell your land.
Sorry, I was just like accidentally texting someone on my watch right then.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, so 7 ways to sell your land.
Yeah,
what do you mean?
Well, these are different methods that you can use to actually sell your land. So we buy and sell land mm-hmm. is our main business. And what a big part of it is actually selling it to the end buyer so we can achieve a profit. So that selling part can take many different forms. There's 7 different ways that we highlight in this in order to get that task accomplished. Some of them might be pretty obvious to you, but we've got a couple at the end, which I don't think that you're probably considering.
So you mean like outside of just MLS?
Right.
The traditional way. So most yes. people think, I'm going to sell real estate, I'm going to list it on the MLS, on the
right,
open
I'm
going
to hire a real estate agent to take yeah. care of it for me.
Okay, and you're saying yeah. there's other ways to do it.
There are more ways to do it. So
okay.
We've done a number of these, and we are experimenting with a couple of these others on here as well.
Have we done all of them?
No.
Look, whenever I sit down is when I get the cheat
yeah,
sheet.
Yeah, we've got a cheat sheet
Pete
here.
Pete gives me my talking points.
And I did spend a lot of time putting this together. Extensive research.
I have a
it's all up here. Actually, just putting it on paper is pretty much my process. I did Google mm-hmm. a couple things as well. Because I don't know everything, contrary to popular belief.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad we got that sorted. Okay, well, where should we start?
Okay, well...
Actually, you know what? I'm sorry, I'm cutting you off, but like, you should tell everyone who you are and why you actually are qualified to talk on this. I feel like we don't do that.
Okay.
And...
Yeah. Well, first of all, my name's Pete Reese. And, you know, if you're meeting me for the first time, Heather and I go way back. But
25 years. Yeah.
Has it been that long?
I think it.
Wow.
Oh my. Yeah. It's been 25 years.
Wow.
Just like last week.
Really?
Or no, last month. Last month it was 25 years.
Okay. Well, yeah.
There we go.
Big anniversary coming up.
Yeah. Hopefully you're planning something spectacular.
Yes, I am.
Because you're the travel planner. So I'll be holding my breath for that one.
Yeah. So anyhow, we have a land investing business. And what we do generally is we buy and sell land. Mm-hmm. Now we also dabble into other investment types of real estate as well, but our main focus is land. So we've been really focused on land since about 2021 now. Mm-hmm. So it's been a little over 3 years since we've been all in on the land game. And since 2021, we've expanded our revenues and our profit each and every year. We started out in 2021, the first year we did it, we did about $1.2 million in revenue. Second year, we did about $3.4 million. And then our third year, which was 2023, we ended up doing about $8.2 million. My goal was to do $20 million in 2024. So we'll see if we can make that happen.
Right. And I'll add a little more context because we both realized we really liked real estate almost, well, 24 years ago, I think. Actually, we knew 25 years ago. And we've done house flipping. You are a licensed real estate broker in California, but this is not like... You know,
I don't have clients anymore.
Right. He's not your agent. He's not your broker. He's talking about his own company and business. So talk to a professional, your own professional. You were a real estate broker doing REOs, short sales. REO is real estate owned. So it's like bank owned properties during the Great Recession of whatever, however many years
real
ago. Like I want to block that.
Implosion of 2008.
Yeah. Short sales. You've done BPOs, which are broker price opinions. I'm trying to think what else.
Luxury real estate. Representing investors, mm-hmm. other investors.
Right. And, buyers, sellers. You've seen the gamut of... The one thing we haven't done, or you haven't done a gazillion times, is commercial. You have done commercial transactions, but that's not your like,
that's not my main focus. I do want to get more and more involved in it. You know, that's another thing that it's kind of a really broad category. There's a lot of different sub niches within that. So certain areas really kind of make sense to me, and certain areas I'm not really interested in at all. So.
Right. And I think that's important because if you want to do, you want to have your own real estate career, there really is riches in niches. And not beyond that, there's happiness in niches, I think.
Yes.
Because if you're somebody who doesn't like talking to people, the last thing you should be doing is holding open houses.
Right.
You know, or being a traditional residential real estate agent if you don't like having to put yourself out there.
What if I'm good at baking the chocolate chip cookies?
Right. I think that is such a like a smart move in so many ways because, yeah, instantly you're like, I could live here. They have chocolate chip cookies.
It smells so good in here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I'm afraid we would have to buy those. But the cool thing about land flipping and what I'm getting to is that this is for people who, yeah, they like real estate, but they also kind of like that. I always call it like, what's a better term than thrill of the kill? Because I'm a vegan and that seems like a really, really dumb. And I'm
well,
not
I'm a vegan
that.
Too. But I, you know, the thing about it is it's fun to me because there's always a deal, you know, and if you're like, if you like deals, if you like buying and selling and things like that, it's pretty great business model. It's a short-term business model.
Right.
So like these are not long-term holds generally. I mean, there is an aspect of our business that kind of is long-term holds.
But the goal is not to.
Goal for most of the properties that we buy, our goal is to sell them as quickly as possible.
Right. And you can kind of gamify this. So if you're somebody who really enjoys that, you're into the research, this is fun and you know you want to do real estate, but you don't want to represent people. You don't need to have a real estate license. You don't have to be a broker. You don't have to have eons of experience. I think that helped us get to, what was it, over $1 million that first year.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That definitely did.
Right. It gave us a good head start,
right,
for sure.
But it's not necessary for long-term success. So if you're someone who just enjoys kind of like the game of it, and the other thing that I like about it, because I'm a negative person, is that, go ahead, any comment you want to add?
I'm not disputing that.
My go-to is, but I think I'm pretty positive because I work through it, but right. it's a daily thing.
We're a yin and yang type situation. I'm skewed towards the positive. Mm-hmm. She's skewed towards the negative sometimes.
Or but. I'm a realist and you're an optimist to the extent it's like overboard optimism.
You know, they say optimistic people live longer.
100%. I believe that, right? Because can you imagine the stress I'm putting my body through always thinking worst case scenario?
Right.
Like that in and of alone would probably, like, I'm breaking down my arteries as we sit
Is that
here.
Why you like Jimmy Buffett music? Because it kind of puts you in that laid back mindset?
Yeah, probably. I just went to his tribute concert in Hollywood Bowl a couple weeks ago and it was fantastic.
Yes.
I'm just throwing that out there. If you're a Jimmy Buffett fan.
I didn't go, but Heather didn't want to buy me a ticket.
I did buy him a ticket and it sat empty, so. There we go. But I took our older two girls and it was fantastic. So thank you for that. Are you trying to switch my mood?
No.
Okay. But so what I like about this is that it moves quick. So if there is market corrections, you're not necessarily left holding copious amounts of
overpriced real estate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That. And the other thing too is that the goal is to buy it at a way discounted price to account for market shifts or just issues that come up that you don't think about. Like you're not
or
buying
errors.
Or errors. Yeah. You're human. You're human.
Mm.
You make mistakes.
Yeah. I've made him one or two.
That was like the perfect opportunity to be like marrying you. Like I was like waiting.
Say that.
I know, right?
You know, no.
Because you would never. I know where the bank accounts are. Anyways, so do you?
I know where the land is.
Yeah, you know where the land. There we go. What are we going to do? There's a lot of reasons why I really like this. But anyway, so Pete's a real estate broker, experienced. I was a real estate agent. I am no longer a real estate agent. There was 1 month I was our top agent. 20 years ago.
That's good. You sold one house?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You were like sick that month or something. So, but I did it.
It was a good, we needed that sale. That was good.
Thank you. So anyway, so we come at this with experience. I think disinformation's rampant on the internet. So I want to start pointing
yes,
out.
Yes, I've noticed that a little bit. Yes.
Right. That vetting your information, you know, we're not just like
the source. Yeah, make sure you've got the proper source.
Yeah, and that what they're sharing is true. And how do you do that? I mean, you have, I don't even know how many videos do you have talking about your income, going straight. And that's the other reason why we put out, we were doing your income videos, like doing the deal breakdowns too, saying, okay, here's the property I bought. Here's what happened good. Here's what happened bad. If someone's only telling you the good and they're never saying the bad,
right,
or telling you the lessons they learned from it, they're probably hiding something.
Right.
So it's just important to vet the information. So anyways, where would they find your past income reports and your deal breakdowns?
Yeah, so the best place to find all that is in our Land Conquest community. Now we have a community that is hosted on the School platform. That's S-K-O-O-L.
Oh yeah, you probably should have been saying that because someone like me was going to school.
Okay, well, I don't know what that school.com is, but...
Hopefully it's not a porn site you've been sending people to.
I would imagine it's not, but I don't know. So school.com/landconquest, mm-hmm. or just simply go to landconquest.com. And that's the name of our community, Land Conquest. Mm-hmm. In our community... there's the community section, but there's also a section of the community called the classroom section. In there, you find our full training program, but there's an archive of all my past income reports. Mm-hmm. Also on YouTube, we have our whole history of income reports on our YouTube channel. And to find our YouTube channel, just go into YouTube and do @TurningProfit. Turning Profit, obviously the name of our podcast. Mm-hmm.
So anyways, I think I'm doing the dad jokes now. Like, I think I'm the dad joke teller, which okay. is disturbing. So let's get back to, before I really go wild, 7 ways to sell your land. So what is the first way?
Okay, well, I'm going to start with the most obvious. Mm-hmm. And this is actually the way that we use most all the time.
Right.
So most every time.
There's nothing wrong with this
way. It's part of our system.
Right.
And this is selling the conventional way mm-hmm. with an agent or broker. And, you know, I call it the traditional method. So you basically hire a real estate agent who will then plug that into their own marketing system. Generally, 99% of the time, they are listing it on the multiple listing service. That's kind of a website for all the different agents and
MLS.
Brokers. Yes, the agents and brokers out there to see what properties are on the market and available to purchase. So what happens there is that you pay a real estate agent or broker a commission, and they basically are supposed to be handling all the marketing in the whole process. So their marketing can include many different things. The good ones are not simply just putting it into the MLS, the multiple listing service. The good ones have an additional, a whole marketing system that they're doing. They could be, you know, putting it on their own website. They could do direct marketing to potential buyers. A lot of them have buyers lists. They could be sending out stuff to neighbors, putting a sign on the property, lots of different things.
Can we talk about a sign on the property?
Sure.
Because I feel like a lot of agents, you would think, I think that a lot of agents do it for vanity reasons. Like, oh, if I show, you know, I have a listing here, people are going to drive by, and then when they want to sell, they're going to be like, oh, I should use her
right.
or him or them or whoever. I think that the reality is that it also for land, especially, is important because a lot of times neighbors buy that or someone else is driving by and like, I love this area. I'm like, oh gosh, because land's so much more affordable than a house.
Right.
So a lot of times it could be more of an impulse purchase. Like, I want right. that piece of land. It's not like they're
right. I don't know what I'm going to do with it yet. Uh-huh. You know, potentially I'll build on here down the road. At least maybe we'll use it for some recreation or something. But mm-hmm. this is a property I'd love to have. And I can pull it off, you know, financially. And
yeah.
So a lot of sales like that occur.
So I think that having that that sign up is a big deal for lands.
Yeah.
Land. I also sometimes hopefully they'll do, or maybe you already said this because I zoned out for a sec. My apologies. But sending
you're like, not listening to every word I say?
I normally do, but I was thinking of our kid, actually. I was like, okay. They texted me. So I was.
Okay.
Yeah. Or I was thinking like sending out postcards to the surrounding homes is another.
Yes, we get into that.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, my apologies.
Further on the list, Heather.
Awkward.
If you reviewed the list ahead of time, that's something you might have known.
It's more fun because then it's just like off the cuff.
Okay.
For me.
All right. So, you know, a couple other things about this. First of all, you're paying commissions to do this. So commissions for land, depending on the value of this land that you're mm-hmm. selling, if it's a very inexpensive piece of land, you're probably going to be paying 10%. Commission in most cases. If it's a higher dollar piece of property, you can probably get that down somewhat.
Commissions are not set in stone. I don't know where this
they're
came
negotiable.
From.
Yeah.
They've always been negotiable. Yeah. Always been negotiable. So I don't know. Having said that, please pay your real estate professionals adequately because they deserve it.
Yeah. Well, you know, what they're doing is they're doing the work mm-hmm. first and then getting paid later. Sometimes the work that they do does not end up in a payable situation. So mm-hmm. just keep that in mind. Obviously, they get it's a results driven type business. So if they get the deal done, then they get paid. So, but typically what happens is you come to an agreement with the listing broker, you know, the certain percentage that you're going to pay. Mm-hmm. And then the way it's currently set up is that a portion of that commission gets shared with the buyer's agent. There's been some new rulings about or a settlement about mm-hmm. that. So that could be changing slightly how that's all structured. But I do think that there's probably still going to be a way that listing agents and brokers get a certain percentage of commission and the buyer's agents. So it might look it might be structured a little bit differently, but I think that's ultimately what's going to persist here in the near future, at least. Want to learn the secret to building a thriving land flipping business? Head on over to landconquest.com and join over 2,000 passionate land flippers leveraging the power of community to scale quickly. Sign up for free at landconquest.com. All right, let's get back to the show.
Yeah, we talked about it before. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I have no idea how that'll play out, but I know it will. And all I know is that if I was going into real estate, like buying my first home, I for sure want a reputable agent or broker representing me on the purchase.
Right.
Because there's no way that you as a first-time home buyer are going to know.
You're going into a blind. Yeah,
yeah, you don't even know what you don't know. Right. And you want them to be telling you, okay, this is the contract says this, so you don't lose your security or your deposit. You have stuff like inspections, you know? So anyways, that's
there's a lot that goes into it. So using a professional is a very wise move. And it's, like I said, it's part of our system. Mm-hmm. Our system is to leverage local agents and brokers to actually sell our properties for us.
And I think a lot of people are confused on that because you're a broker. Mm-hmm. So they're like, why are you not just doing that? Well, you're licensed in certain states, you know, California.
One state, yeah.
One state. But I mean, like I should say, brokers and agents are licensed in their certain state. You don't know the local, right off the bat, the local disclosures.
Right.
I mean, yeah, you could figure it out. That's not that difficult. But you'd have to then spend your time doing that. You would have to spend your time answering phone calls. You'd have to fly out to wherever to show the property if someone wants to meet you there.
No, so thanks.
Listen, yeah, I can show
actually,
it to
you. Actually, I do need to get a jet, so.
Oh, yeah, no.
That might be a way to talk Heather into that.
Yeah, good luck. I appreciate the efforts there. But you know what I mean? Like, these are all practical things. But even if it was in your local area, you can either spend your time showing properties, answering phone calls, feeding the tire kickers because buyers are liars. Sorry, they are. Or you could be drumming up, you know, new deals.
Yeah, that's
so. Where are you going to play into this? The game of the business.
Yeah,
I don't know. Up to you.
So we hire agents and brokers and good ones. We try to find the best in each area to, you know, sell our properties for us. Sometimes we run into one that's not so great. Sometimes we run into some amazing ones that we keep doing business with over and over and over again. So that's our goal, really, the latter there.
Yeah, and it's the bad ones that make everyone hate real estate agents. That's the reality.
Yeah.
Because no one's talking about, like, if you have a great experience, you're like, great, I got a new place. You're not going into, like, but this agent, let me tell you. No, but if you have a bad one,
yes,
you're going to tell everybody. Mm-hmm. So just remember that.
Mm-hmm. Next method of selling your land would be an auction. So we haven't done this actually yet, but actually, we haven't completed an auction yet, but we are actually actively experimenting that with that right now.
Right the second?
Huh?
Like, is it a live auction or an online
days or what? So this auction, we hired an auctioneer. And basically what's happening is it's a larger property. I think it's a 30-acre property that we split into three 10-ish acre parcels. And we're hiring, we've hired the auctioneer already. And what they do is they plug it into, they have a whole marketing system. Well, they plug it into their marketing system. They've got a big buyer's list. They advertise locally. They do about 60 days of marketing before the actual auction. And then they conduct the auction and sell off the properties then. Now, there's a number of different ways this can be done. It could be just an on-site type auction where people only show up and the only people that show up could be the bidders. They could do an internet-based auction where there's nobody on site, where it's just simply an online thing that happens at a certain day, time, or it could be a combination. And that's what's happening in this situation that we're doing. So the auctioneers are going to be on site, but they are also going to be, there's an internet bidding component as well.
Are they licensed like real estate professionals?
They're licensed auctioneers.
Auctioneers. Okay.
Yes.
And do you still need an agent to do the stuff? No. So they like do that and then it just goes straight to escrow.
Right, exactly. So they've got certain terms. So they have a non-refundable deposit that gets put down with the buyer.
Like once they win the bid?
As soon as they win the bid.
Oh, they probably actually have to give the deposit. It's held for everyone who wants to bid has to put a deposit.
Right.
And then once you win the bid, that then becomes non-refundable.
Right. Yep. Okay. And then they do a standard 30-day closing or sooner. You know, the people could close sooner than that if they want to. But so they have to have any financing lined up ahead of time. They have to have the deposit down. So from what I'm told, it's extremely rare that people actually, you know, don't complete the purchase at that point. So
how much does it normally cost?
Generally 10%.
So it's not that far off from what you would pay as a commission anyways.
Exactly.
And do you normally get what you want? Do you normally get higher than what you want? How does
I believe that from what I'm told, mm-hmm. this is firsthand experience. I don't have any. I'm just going based off of interviewing a number of different auctioneers and asking them a bunch of different questions. Mm-hmm. And from what I'm told, certain areas work better than others. Mm-hmm. Certain areas you can expect retail or even slightly above retail, mm-hmm. you know, potentially setting a new market value mm-hmm. for that particular area.
It's that scarcity mindset. I've got to get this because it's the only thing available and I have to do it right this second.
Right. And then some areas it's still viewed as a discount type situation. So mm-hmm. you may not be able to achieve market value. You may come close, but you know, a lot of, in certain areas, they're still viewed as like, hey, this is some sort of distress sale mm-hmm. or something like that.
Like an IRS impound sale, like that.
Yeah, these things, those like types of things. Yeah.
Or a divorce sale or
exactly.
something.
Exactly. So okay. Ultimately, we'll see. We picked an area where supposedly auctions work very well. And I'm really looking forward to it. I'll be able to log on the auction site mm-hmm. when the auction is going on at this property that we own. So it should be very interesting to me. So I'll be able to track how it's going.
We should take notes while what you're like feeling and thinking throughout the whole thing, and then do a podcast just on it. Mm,
yes,
because that'd be fun. Because I think a lot of times it's like, what did you think was going to happen? Like halfway through, where you're like, oh no, yeah. Shouldn't have done this.
So this is a no reserve situation too. So
there are no reserve situations. Yeah. So what if like only one person?
Huh? It won't be.
But theoretically,
I guess it's possible. Yeah. I think in certain cases you can do reserves on these auctions, but it also really limits participation then as well. So I could tell you're worried. It's all right, Heather. It's just like $100,000. Don't worry.
Dog lets you hang out with them.
We'll see. So I think we'll do really well on it. And I'm excited to report how that goes. I'm going to try to maybe get some footage from the auction and maybe do some content around this. And the cool part is if it works, then we will kind of enter that into our system on certain properties to sell them off that way.
I realize a lot of stuff you do is for like educational purposes only, mm-hmm. like because then you can show all of our students and stuff and like our community, like, okay, we did this. And
I'll be the guinea pig.
Yeah, we do that a lot. Like mm-hmm. a lot of the advertising we've done, some's worked out, some hasn't, but it's like, well, at least we can share it with everybody. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell everyone where they can find that kind of stuff? Like where in the community? Because you do share a lot of that stuff kind of behind the scenes.
Well, first of all, you know, like I post videos on YouTube, also on Instagram at Partner with Pete, and on TikTok at Partner with Pete. So Partner with Pete is our funding program where we partner with you on deals. So that could be a situation where you got a property under contract, you submit it at partnerwithpete.com, and then we evaluate the deal. If it's a deal, then we will agree to fund that deal, meaning we will use our funds to actually purchase the property. And then we actually plug it into our own system. So my team handles every single aspect regarding the due diligence, any sort of improvements that we make to the property, everything you can imagine, the transaction, the marketing. And then when the property resells, then we split the profits 50-50. So it's a real win-win situation. But anyhow, I got off on a little bit of tangent, partnerwithpete.com. And then a lot of times, if we've got any sort of unique content, we post that in our Land Conquest community as well. So auctions, I'm kind of excited to see how that all goes, especially on this particular property. I think if I'm kind of guessing how this is all going to work, as how it's going to kind of plug into our system going forward, I think it'll work really well with lot split type properties where we have multiple parcels that are, you know, were once part of a larger parcel. I think it'll work well for those properties. I also think it'll work well for unique type premium type properties where mm-hmm. there's just, you know, a lot of people that would want that one property and might potentially bid that property up in order to just because, it, you know, mm-hmm. You'll be where else are you going to get that?
Yeah, you're going to see what the more real value is because, mm-hmm. like, you know, a lot of times you miss that. We've missed out on properties before where it's like, I would have gone higher.
Yeah.
Like, yep. Why didn't they come back to me when it was a multiple offer thing? Why didn't they do highest and best? We would have gone a lot higher. So this is kind of like a live highest and best, if you will.
Yeah. And then people get the emotions, people get wrapped up in, you know, wanting to win and, you know, all these types of things that go into it as well. So kind of exciting to see how that will go. So I will report back. Next category I have is direct off market. this is kind of like doing it yourself in a way, but doing it so it's not on the multiple listing service. So basically, you're not going to be liable for paying a real estate agent any sort of commissions.
I feel like this works best on the lower priced ones.
It does. And that was one of the notes I had. Did you read that? Works best for cheap properties is what I wrote.
I guess we've been doing this together long enough that we're both
Well, it's a way to sell without paying commissions. I mean, that's really the bottom line. You can try to find a buyer yourself. And to do this, generally, most people use Facebook Marketplace, Craigslist in some areas, and also eBay. For some of the really cheap type properties.
You could even do the mailers, your own sign. I'm trying to think. There's probably, if you sat down and really thought about it, there's probably a lot of ways. It's just about advertising a product.
Yeah.
Maybe Nextdoor. Is that on there?
No. I didn't know. Can you sell on Nextdoor?
I think you can do ads on Nextdoor. So I wonder if there's...
Interesting. Never thought about that.
I don't actually know, but I feel like there's got to be a way. Mm-hmm. And then you'd get people... Just write something like ridiculous in there too.
Yeah.
And then so everyone in the community would get kind of like...
Something scandalous. And that's what works best on Nextdoor.
Yeah, this would be perfect for...
Some sort of complaint.
Mole rats. Yeah, a mole rat breeding facility or something like... I don't know. I've always thought of putting a mole rat.
Ideal mushroom farm location.
Yeah, exactly. Knowing there's no way you do that, but people are like, what in the? Yep, you better buy it so that they don't do that mushroom farm there on that quarter acre infill lot right next to your house. Oh, man.
You know, that's one way you can do it. And we've sold properties that way, you know, just on Facebook Marketplace, Craigslist. Your own website is also, you know, if you build out your own, you know, sort of buyer-facing website, you can do that as well.
I see that I kind of segued directly into your next one, too, which is the neighboring marketing.
Yes, please try not to jump ahead.
Okay, so the next one is kind of like almost a segue off the other one, because I accidentally did that.
You're jumping ahead.
My apologies. So you're calling this a neighboring marketing?
Neighbor marketing.
Neighborhood marketing is what I would call it. Like.
Yeah. Yeah, so basically what you're doing is you're trying to find a neighbor of the property that is interested in purchasing it. And believe it or not, we sell a lot of our properties to neighbors, whether we do specific neighbor marketing or not. But I think in a lot of situations, you could probably sell the property you've got to a neighbor if you solely focused on neighbor marketing. Maybe not all the time, but sometimes you can.
Yeah, sure. I think that should be your go-to actually before, you know, any of that. A lot of times it just has to be, to work the best, it has to be touching the land. That could be the guy behind it, the guy next to it, the guy kitty corner, even a small little, you know what I mean? Or the other part about that is that a lot of times people will buy a property, build a house or whatever, and then like, I want my child to live nearby. It'd be great to buy this. So even if it's not touching, or my parents, or my best friends, or whatever.
Yeah, like for instance, if we were going to, you know, buy a property for my mother-in-law or your mom, I would not want her next door.
Yeah, I'd probably do a different county, but...
I'm just joking. Eileen, if you're listening. No, you're not. No, I'm not joking. No, I am.
This is getting bad. But if it was like, you know, if we were going to be buying a new thing, I'd want something maybe our kids or our grandkids could come hang out, or I don't know. It just makes sense.
Well, wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be cool to buy, like, have your kids live on the same street with you or on the same large property or something like that?
That would have been amazing for us when our kids were little, because then you'd have built-in grandparents.
You
know, I'm not exactly ready to be a grandparent, but I hope that, you know, I want to be able to give the kids as much like fun, you know what I mean? Having that backup
support.
Plan. Yeah, exactly. Like they can, if they wanted to work, if they want to go on a trip, if a kid's sick, I'll put on my PPP or whatever you call it. Like those, you know, the little kid germs. Like I'm like, I'll help, I guess.
Boost your land flipping earnings with our new Land Conquest business system. It's designed for efficiency and effectiveness. This cutting edge software tool is your key to success in the land flipping industry. Streamline and automate your operations to scale your business to new heights. With our system, you get a customizable website with 6 professional templates to choose from, up to 5 dedicated phone numbers, each with their own chosen area codes for creating a trustworthy local presence. And as a bonus, you'll get a $25 credit for SMS and email sends. You'll also get access to our tech team to build any automations or customizations that you want. And not to mention, we've got a great dedicated community to the Land Conquest business system to help us all thrive together. And with every step of the way, you get our 24/7 live chat support. But that's not all. You'll also gain access to our exclusive community to connect and grow with fellow land flippers. Seize the opportunity to transform your business. Visit software.landconquest.com to check out the Land Conquest business system and unlock the next stage of your land flipping success. Yeah, that doesn't sound fun to me, dropping off your sick kids.
No, but I mean, how much would that have helped? You know what I mean? Or if you haven't slept in days. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it seems like that's happening a lot more, that multi-generational kind of thinking. So it just makes sense if there's a buildable lot, I mean, touching it or not, you could expand your own house. Mm-hmm. And land is a lot more affordable than buying the house next door, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So you can chip away at it.
So neighbor marketing, generally this means sending out letters to neighbors. You know, we have a specific neighbor letter that we give away in our Land Conquest training program in our community. So that's an option. You know, a lot of people put it in their system where they are just, before they list it on the market or before they list it with the real estate agent, they give it a shot to do the neighbor marketing, meaning they'll pull maybe, you know, the 50 closest neighbors and they will send out a letter saying, hey, we are going to be, you know, selling this property on the market, but we wanted to give the neighbors a chance to purchase it if you were interested. So if you are, you know, here's my number to give me a call and we'll see what we can work out, that type of thing.
We should do something where it's like, if you don't want this to become a mushroom farm, please call back within the next 48 approach. Hours. Yeah. I'm just kidding. It's horrible. Don't do that. I could see someone doing it though.
Yes. That would probably work too.
I know. Like, oh, yeah. I can't do that. A dog training facility.
A kennel. Yes.
My idea of hell. I love animals. This
is projected to be the state's largest kennel.
Yeah. And we're only taking the most problematic behavior to animals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hope you don't have small children.
Yeah.
Okay. So the next one is direct on market.
Oh, you skipped something, Heather. I wasn't done talking about that.
My apologies.
You could also call the neighbors. So you could get a phone list, try to find their phone numbers, white pages, or skip tracing, something like that. And you could actually make phone calls to them. I mean, you would enjoy that.
I just like my blood pressure just like went up like 100 points.
Well, would you be?
Not really.
Yeah, but would you be really upset if someone called and told you about a property that they were selling like across the street? I'd be like, oh, okay, thanks for checking with me. Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and report you to the local authorities because I'll make up some random reason why you shouldn't be able to sell. Sorry, just California. Hmm. No, I wouldn't. But I think initially I would be. But my visceral response was to being the person making the phone calls.
Oh, you don't like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I would. You can call or text. To me, I mean, I think if you were good on the phone and you took the right approach, mm-hmm. I think you'd have a lot of people that would be interested in engaging that conversation with you and be potentially very interested.
100%. If you're like, hey, I just like
wanted to let you know. Your neighbor. Uh-huh. I own the property next door to you and I'm going to be selling it. I figured I'd give you a heads up.
Give you a shot if you wanted to, you know.
You know, no big deal. I just thought I'd mention it. So,
yeah. Right.
So moving on. Heather, do you want to move on to the next one yet?
So the next one is direct on market, flat fee MLS, land.com sites.
Yeah. Okay. So I put this in a different category.
Okay.
This is selling yourself, but it's kind of like a hybrid between, you know, like just doing it off market where you don't have to pay commissions. Mm-hmm. This is doing it yourself, but you are still liable for paying some commissions in most cases. So basically what you're doing is you're listing it on what they call the flat fee MLS. So it's a multiple listing service.
It's the same MLS.
It's the same MLS, mm-hmm. but you're using a special broker that just does flat fee listings. You might pay a few $100 or something mm-hmm. like that to get it simply put on the MLS. You're basically representing yourself as the owner of the property, but you are offering a commission, a cooperating commission to any buyer's agents that may have a buyer that they are working with that they want to submit an offer for the property.
Mm-hmm. And we've had to do this a few times because mm-hmm. we couldn't find any agents in the area that mm-hmm. were...
That were quality?
Yeah. I was going to say qualified to handle the mm-hmm. transaction, but yeah. And so what it is it's just a brokerage that has decided that their way of making money is that they're going to sell this service to allow like FSBOs mm-hmm. that want to list on the MLS. And like you said, you fill out this form, it's whatever. They probably look it over really quick just to make sure there's not fair housing violations, I would imagine.
Yeah, yeah. They make sure you're compliant with the MLS rules. Otherwise, they get fined.
Right, exactly. And then they upload it. But every single, it'll say like listed by, I don't know, some Joe's real estate agency. and the listing broker is Sarah Land. But it'll say in there, don't contact us. Mm-hmm. This is right.
contact the seller directly. Here's their cell phone number or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it does get it searchable because a lot of people, if they are people who are ready to buy, are looking on the MLS. So
I don't see much of a downside as to putting it in the MLS. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously we do that. We sell most of our properties probably come from MLS listings. But if you're going to be doing it yourself, you can save a little bit of money. Basically, mm-hmm. you're likely not going to be paying that listing agent commission. Mm-hmm. So if you're trying to save some money, or maybe you want to have more control over the process, kind of work these leads yourself.
Or if it's enjoyable.
If you like that, I guess.
You know?
But in most cases, I don't think that it really is going to pay for itself. But, whatever.
I wonder how, when the changes happen, how that'll be affected. I don't know if it'll even be affected. But I don't know. This, again, I just want to say, like, yes, you could do all this. You could do everything. But are you going to reach your real estate goals? Like, because you're not going to be able to work deals. You're not going to be able to find deals to sell.
Right. That's where the money's made. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're going to be bogged down answering endless phone calls. I mean, we could tell you how many stories where we've listed something and you had like hundreds of inquiries.
Yes. Facebook Marketplace, especially, you know, on the cheaper properties that are very unique, you know, you have so many leads coming in, and it's hard to, you know,
to decide. We should have Madeline come on, our eldest, because she was the one who was like the Facebook Marketplace queen.
Yes.
She sold a bunch of properties doing that. But, you know, you get some wild stuff, and even at some point for her, she was like, this isn't worth it. I know.
Yeah. Well, there's so many, like you said earlier, there's so many tire kickers. Mm-hmm. So it's weeding through a lot of those people that are not serious buyers that are just.
You mean my buyers are liars?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So that's an option. If you are going to be dealing in really cheap properties, maybe that's a way to get it on the MLS without having a real estate. Because some, you know, if you're selling a, you know, $10,000 or $20,000 property, it's going to be hard to find a real estate agent to actually take that listing.
Right. Because like if they're only making, let's say you're doing the whole 10%, like that's still not much.
Right.
And they have to split it with
their broker.
And then with the other side, and that agent has to split it with their broker. So like if everyone, $200 for like answering 5,000 phone calls.
It's tough.
And the liability, they need errors and omissions insurance. Like there's a lot that goes into it.
And what if it doesn't sell and they don't get anything?
Right. And then they've just like spent their whole, you know. Yes. Okay. If it's a lesser priced property, you could probably take a bunch of these different ones and, and piece together and get it done.
Right.
I mean, there's people who buy $500 properties and sell them for $1,000.
Or sell them for $5,000.
Right, exactly. So, but like where that, you know what I mean? This is probably what they're doing.
Yeah, you would have to put in a system like this. So instead of working with traditional real estate agent.
Yeah. Okay. The last one, next one on here you have is donate for a tax write-off.
Yeah. So obviously we're getting into the last two ones that I don't think many people consider. And it's, I guess technically it's not a way to sell your land, but it's a way to dispose of it. Yes, it's a way to move on from your property. Mm-hmm. But it can be done in a very financially effective way in certain situations. Now, you could donate for this for a tax write-off. Now, obviously, if you don't need a tax write-off, it doesn't really make sense for your situation. Mm-hmm. If you're in a situation where you made a bunch of profit, and you need a certain amount of tax write-offs, then it could potentially be a good situation. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, we are not tax advisors or anything like that.
Or legal professionals. Don't take this as legal advice. We don't. We're not.
So, and every person's situation is different. So you'll want to consult with your
financial advisor,
your CPA, whoever you talk to about the tax stuff, and see if it's a viable solution to your problem. So it could be good for properties that are hard to sell, may have some decent value, but it's hard to find a buyer. There's very few buyers, but it still's got value.
Right.
So maybe in that situation, you could donate it to a nonprofit that accepts land donations. Mm-hmm. You could get a tax write-off that ultimately would net you the same as what you would get for selling the property.
Right. So. And on the flip side, maybe this is charitable donations are very important to you, that there's, you know, this would be a very emotionally fulfilling.
Yeah, you can endeavor. Help out an organization or cause that means a lot to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and you might, you know.
And solve a tax problem.
Right. So, yeah, exactly. And then also they could then sell it and actually make maybe even more than you could make or use it for some reason. Yeah. I've seen people who donate the land and then they, you know, like a I don't think it was Boys and Girls Club, but something like that. And then it was a desirable land. They got the tax benefit. They helped a cause that they really liked, but then they also helped this cause build a, you know, like they were able to build a facility that they couldn't have before because they needed to have the land as the down payment.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So like this can have like a rippling effect.
They could do something with mm-hmm. the land. They could resell it to get funds for their organization. It
yeah.
could be a number of different things.
Right. Yeah. And it could be a legacy thing. Maybe you have a piece of land that you want to hold. You actually are like, I'm going to hold on to this one. This is going to be my legacy to XYZ.
Mm-hmm. Or so, you donate a piece of land to a community and they build like a sports park or mm-hmm. they, you
or
know,
a community
conservation
garden.
Area, community garden.
You know, like maybe some of those infill park. Lots, that's the best use for it. If it's not buildable,
mm-hmm.
run community gardens.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, like that actually is something we should look into mm-hmm. with some of the ones. We don't really do infill lots, but I bet you there's community organizers that would jump at that,
mm-hmm.
even if you just leased it to them or you gave it to them. They created their own nonprofit and then they had a place that forever, you know, people could learn about where their food comes from and help grow. And
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of self-fulfilling, good feeling from growing something.
Yep.
A kid could bring home a tomato.
Mm-hmm. We saw in San Diego last night when we were driving back from a restaurant. We went out to eat last night. And we saw a open lot that they had converted to housing for...
Oh, yeah, the tent city
yeah,
kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, for homeless. So basically they had a whole... have a whole kind of tent city mm-hmm. Set up. Now... it was a big problem in San Diego that, you know, they were living basically on the sidewalks mm-hmm. in many of these streets and everything like that. And they recently came up with this plan to at least, you know, provide a better situation, you know, for mm-hmm. them. And, you know, maybe that's a need in your city as well.
Yeah.
You know, for something like that.
So look, I mean, if you come across something that's just an amazing deal that you're like, I don't know if I'd really be able to sell it. It's got all these kind of things. If you can come up with another use for it. You could then donate it to the city or lease it to the city or like for free or however, you know, you'd have to get insurance. But anyways, like that kind of stuff. Yeah, 100%. That came about, if I'm remembering correctly, is that the whole thing was like, okay, you can tell people you can't live here. You just mm-hmm. can't. You can't be sleeping on the streets. You can't do whatever. That's great. So you outlaw it. Then where do you do? Like
yeah,
take them to jail?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, you have to have a spot. That's what I think they're saying that if it's only illegal, whatever that means, if there are beds available, because if there's no beds available for you to go into, it's like, what are mm-hmm. we outlawing people from?
Right.
Like, well, I don't know. And yeah. I get it why they're here in San Diego, because it's the weather.
The weather's very moderate. Yeah.
Yeah. Where are you, you know, good luck doing that in like Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
You'd freeze to death. So I don't know. I think there's a lot of ways that you can look at your piece. This is for like a problem piece of land per se, mm-hmm. or a potential opportunity. That's just you don't want to pass it up.
Right.
Or it could benefit you. It could benefit others.
Yeah. You know, this. I would think this would be appealing sometimes to maybe some commercial properties. Commercial properties mm-hmm. are, you know, they have a lot of value in many cases, but they take a long time to sell.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to find that right buyer. So I would think that would be a good win-win in some of those situations.
Mm-hmm.
So,
or even a temporary.
Yeah.
I'm going to find this buyer, but you can't use it for 2 years because I've got mm-hmm. this.
So the appraised value might be pretty high. Mm-hmm. You might have picked it up for a great deal
mm-hmm.
Because you were able to buy it with cash or whatever. But you may be able to get a good tax write-off for that and, you know, help others in the process. Are you looking for funding for your land flipping deal? Then head on over to partnerwithpete.com. It's an innovative new funding program where we split the profits with you 50-50, but we take it one step further and we handle every other step of the process in the land flipping business. Yes, that means we handle all the due diligence. If the property needs any value add, like clearing brush, perk test, survey, we'll get that paid for up front. Then when the property resells, we split the profits 50-50. There is absolutely no downside for you as an investor. If we lose money, we don't pass that on to you. But when we make money, when we make profit, we split the proceeds 50-50. So as a recap, we handle every part of the process. We split the profits with you 50-50. There's no downside for you as the investor, only upside. So go to partnerwithpete.com, submit your deal there, and we'll get it checked out within 24 hours.
Yeah, and I wonder if there's actually also another use too, where you, the places that are looking for these kinds of things, you buy it and they pay you yearly. So, like, it might be a long-term hold in a sense, but you're going to be making way more. You pay yourself back after like 5 years or whatever.
Interesting.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I wonder what that, like that, the tent situation, was that county land? Is that city land? Is that
private owned? Yeah.
Yeah, private owned. And then they're getting some sort of benefit back. There's something in Orange County that I just remembered, like you got preferential tax treatment. If you like gave a temporary use to the city or an easement or something, you know what I mean? Like there's some sort of things where you're actually a net negative. I have to see if I can remember what that was, but I remember coming across that.
Yeah.
Okay. This last one you have, of course I'm going to take this one just because I don't want you this is a risky one.
Huh?
But it's
not risky.
No, it's not risky, but it's just, you have to be careful. Tell them what
it is. I will
give
the disclaimer, yeah. Heather.
I'll do disclaimers. You do the fun stuff.
Okay. The next one, which I'm sure you probably haven't thought of, is a raffle.
Right. Around here, we have a McDonald's house kind of raffle thing.
Yeah. Every year they mm-hmm. raffle off a luxury home, you know, mm-hmm. multi-million-dollar home. And they sell tickets. It's probably a couple $100 a ticket or something like that. Raffle ticket, something like
we
that.
We bought them in the past. It's like mm-hmm. a donation to the Ronald McDonald House.
Right.
I feel like it was $100 then, but I have no idea what it is now. And no one's asked me to buy these tickets in years.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right. But who's to say you can't do that with land?
Right.
You could work with maybe a organization or charity or nonprofit, school, you know, someone of your choice. Mm-hmm. They could raffle off the property. And then, you know, I'm sure there's, you know, like when they raffle off those multi-million-dollar homes, there's someone behind it that owns it that either
gets a certain payoff
mm-hmm. for that property. And they, you know, and then the charity gets the remainder mm-hmm. of the profit. So,
or theoretically you just donated it completely, but you might get a higher donation price based off of what's received. You know what I mean? Yeah. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the disclaimers are, there's very strict regulations. This is not something you want to do on your own. You want to be like, enter for a chance to win, you know? No, you know, there's state by state regulations. So check with the local area.
I don't know.
Some states it's completely illegal. Let's see here. Some states it's legal with specific rules and licensing to be followed, especially involving the nonprofit organization. They'd be the ones who'd kind of be on the line for that one. And then you want to consult an attorney or other expert that knows about these things. You don't mm-hmm. want to just, again, don't put it on Facebook and be like, enter mm-hmm. for a chance to win.
Yeah. But I could see it being a very viable, you know, fundraiser for an organization that you're working with. You know, it's probably mostly illegal, I would think, if you're just going to do that direct raffle,
right.
You know? But I think a lot of states have carve outs for doing that through a nonprofit. Right. So maybe there's a way to structure it where it ends up being a win-win for the mm-hmm. nonprofit that you're working with and for yourself.
Right. And so. I should say that's like a raffle is totally different than a, just a strict giveaway where you're just picking a name.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then there's certain things like if just a straight giveaway, like do you have to do something? Is it picking the best painting or,
mm-hmm.
you know? So anyways.
What about if you wanted to get a TikTok account to
mm-hmm.
Get an extreme amount of like followers and things like that. Could you give away a piece of land?
I think the issue is with the platforms. What do they allow? Mm-hmm. Like, do they allow can you enter if you like my post and follow me? Can you, I don't know. Like that was something
I've seen that before.
Well, we used to do that like 10 years ago mm-hmm. or 20, 15, whatever it was. And then Facebook's like, nope, that's illegal. If you do it, you're.
Yeah. But I've seen people build up like TikTok accounts by giving away like a Ferrari or something like that.
Oh yeah. I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I'm sure. Why wouldn't
that? They actually gave it away? I think they did, but.
Uh-huh. But it's a matter of, is it okay with the platform? Is it okay with your local state rules? And in that sense, no, it would have to be like national rules. And then like, is it the FTC gets involved. Yeah. I don't know. I would just talk to someone who really understands that before you go giving away. It'd be fun.
Yeah, exactly.
It would be fun. Okay, well, that was fun that we got through all those. I think the big takeaway from this actually is that be creative. Like if you think of an idea, if it's legal,
yes,
try it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you don't have
make sure it's legal. Yes, don't do anything illegal.
Yeah, don't
just
do weird.
Like don't try to bend rules, break rules. You know, think no one is going to notice because people will notice and you'll get in trouble and it's not worth it.
No, that so people love to
do things above yeah. board.
And the other thing is all of these different ways, you still want to use a title company, some sort of closing company to close the transaction. Mm-hmm. This isn't like, oh, you won my raffle. Here's mm-hmm. the deed. Yeah. No, you still have to do all the steps.
I know people sell properties on eBay without mm-hmm. going through a title company and stuff, but you know, they might be dealing with a $2,000 property or something. So.
Right. And the most they'll lose theoretically. Well, I guess they could lose more, but it always makes sense just to make sure that you're doing it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to segue into the next?
Yeah. Okay. So the next segment, and we do this segment on every one of our podcast episodes, is we cherry pick questions from our land conquest community. And these are four questions that we picked out, that I've picked out. And then I slack them over to Heather. She's going to read them, and then we will answer them together.
All right. Okay. So the first one's from Laura, and it says, in city lots. I'm thinking infill lots is probably what we're talking about here. For those who buy in city lots, do you order surveys for all the lots you're buying before closing?
When we are purchasing properties that are infill lots, or any lots for that matter, whether they be rural properties or anything like that, we generally will not pay for a survey before closing on the purchase.
Unless
the title company, the closing company requires it.
Right. Or if there's some sort of...
if there's some sort of weird thing, you know, like the potential encroachment with the neighbor's, you know, driveway on your property, you think, or something like that. So we would do a survey in those situations just to make sure it's not going to be a problem, or to get a clear picture of exactly what the issue is.
I would think infill lots are probably like the least likely ones to be needed.
Yeah.
Because it's like...
There's been a lot of surveys around them, especially if they're all built up.
Right. So, before you even build, they're going to... I mean, at least if it's in the last century.
Yeah. And a lot of times there are surveys on file in many of these properties already. And if there's a survey on file, you know, maybe it's 20 years old or something like that, those are generally fine depending on the situation. So
isn't that funny? 20 years old, as if that's really old. That was like, what, 2004?
Right.
But yet... yeah.
Okay. Yeah, like a lot of these closing companies, they'll require like a survey if they've got a legal description that says now it's 36 paces over to the stump by John Brown's house. And then, you know, like, so some of these say like really crazy stuff like
that. The little rock wall that, you know, or the old Lawrence fence.
Yeah, I know. So in those situations, the surveyor needs to go out there and create a map and actually...
and they stick little flags in, and it's not just based off of a stump in the ground.
Right.
Okay. Michael says, comp TX. Starting my SMS campaign, got 8 leads in 2 days. Anyone know how to comp in Parker County? Texas. I was like, TX. I wasn't sure. Let's see. Wise County and Johnson County. Please let me know.
Okay. So, these particular counties that are listed, I'm just going to answer them generally. Now, Texas is one of those states they call it a non-disclosure state, meaning that the sale prices on properties are not reported in public record.
Thanks, Texas.
Yes. So what that means is it's harder for us to determine what these properties are worth. You know, we're buying and selling properties. We typically use comps or comparable sales in order to figure out what this property is worth. We try to find something similar in the same area that sold, and then we use that as a basis for value of the properties that we're buying and selling. So in Texas, that information is not available. So there are other pieces of information available. And it's not as exact generally, but we have to kind of piece together other things in order to make that happen. So generally, we're looking at comparable listings. So we're looking at properties that are on the market to be sold that are similar to the property that we are, you know, looking to buy or whatever. And that's one piece of data. We also see previous listings, that how long it was listed for before it went under contract.
Or didn't.
Yes, or didn't.
You know, how long was it listed?
Say we saw a property listed for $100,000. Mm-hmm. It went under contract in 2 days. Generally, that's a pretty good indication that it went pretty close to that previous listing price. Even though we don't know the exact price that it closed for, we got a good indication. It was probably $95,000 to $105,000, somewhere in that range. You know, either went slightly above, slightly below, but in that range. So that gives us a little bit more information. Now, if it was listed at $100,000 and it expired, you know, after a year, then we know that's above market value. Mm-hmm. It didn't sell because it was priced too high. So we'd have to be more conservative and say, well, maybe it's only worth $80,000 or $70,000, you know. So we basically take all this information, sort of piece it together, see how many properties sold in that kind of area over the last year, see how many properties are listed, take all this data and kind of combine it together and come up with our best estimate. And then we also leverage good brokers and agents in those areas to give us their opinion on the value as
That's exactly what I was going to say, because they're going to have just like a gut feeling.
Right. And they may know. They may have the information like, oh, this is an agent in their office. They know what the thing sold for, you know.
I would imagine they kind of do know, even if it's not in the public record that way.
Right. And they communicate with each other and share that information.
Hey, I saw you sold this. What'd it go for?
Right.
I want to say, like, it's hard in these areas, But also that creates opportunity, because if you can't, you know, if you're not readily finding the information, that means that if you can become an expert in that area, you could really, you could really do
it. And you've got your, when you start selling things yourself, then you've got that data. You're like, okay, I know it's similar to this property that I sold. I know what it's worth. I know how long it took us to find a buyer and all that stuff.
Yeah. And then based off of your first research where you're like, okay, I got all this information. This is what it ended up selling for. You do that a couple of times and you're like, okay, so I know that my valuation has been, you know, high, low, right on.
Right.
But the most important part of that is the local agent.
Yep.
Okay. Remediation soil work. This is a question from Clay. I've come across 15 acres in good location, but the property is undergoing remediation work per the county. Has anyone had any experience with this type of property before? My immediate reaction was to stay away, but wondering if once the remediation is done, there may be something worth value. Or is it a sore to buyer builders simply because there has to be remediation work done at all? Either way, would love to hear if anyone has done something like this before and has any advice. Thanks.
Okay. My advice generally would be to stay away from something like this.
Well,
this
I would
is kind
want
of
to know,
a can of worms.
Yeah. What kind of remediation was it? Because like there was an oil leak and like there's oil all through the thing and no one can ever put a house there or a preschool or.
Yeah. It was a dumping ground for toxic chemicals. It was
a hog lagoon, our favorite.
Yeah. An asbestos, you know, spot where they buried asbestos, you know, who knows, like remediation could be many different
it
things.
Could even be like a sinkhole opened up and
but,
you know,
but in many cases those mean things that you don't want to mess with.
And also, as we've seen a million times before, sometimes fixes don't actually fix.
It's always going to have that scar like on it. Like say for instance it's a chemical dumping ground before and they did the remediation to clean it up. You're going to have to disclose that. And there's not going to be many people that are going to be like, oh, I'll buy it, you know.
Move my family there.
Right. They're just, no. It's going to be harder to resell. You're going to have to dig a big discount. You don't know. There's no comps to kind of tell you what that discount should be.
Yeah. The new buyer might also insist on getting new soil report done at your cost. And then what if it, because it probably will still, it's never going to be 100%.
Yeah.
I don't think. I don't know. Would you want your family there? It's a good question, though, because it's like it's probably very enticing.
Yeah.
So good question. Thanks for asking. Yeah. Okay. Kara says on market leads. What do you do when an owner contacts you and you find out their property is on the market? How does it get work to get that under contract? The property seems like it could be a minor subdivide with good potential. I saw another here about realtors requiring proof of funds. I wouldn't have it. Oh, take this away.
Yeah. If a property is on market, that means that the seller is ready to sell. So you've already passed that one hurdle there. And there's no reason you can't negotiate a deal with a property that's on market. So it depends if they're realistic, if you think that there's money to be made there. If they are requiring proof of funds, meaning that you don't have the money to buy the property, you're going to probably be buying that with a partner with Pete Program, as I mentioned already, then you would have to, you know, the best way would be to reach out to me, see if we agree that it's a deal, and then we can actually, you know, submit our proof of funds, negotiate the deal directly, and we'll still work out the profit split with you and everything like that. But, you know, most agents won't accept an offer if you don't have a proof of funds. So if you say you're buying it for cash and, you know, and you don't have it. So.
Yeah. If you feel like you're in over your head, reach out for, get advice. That's what the community is there for. That's what partner for, with Pete is there for.
Yeah.
Anyways, we got to end this because we are like at our time.
Yeah,
where can everyone find you on the internet?
Yeah. Yeah. Find me at Land Conquest Community, landconquest.com. Or you can also find us at Turning Profit on YouTube. And then as well at Partner with Pete on TikTok and Instagram.
Nice.
Yep.
Well, good job. Another great episode, Pete.
Yes. Well, you too, Heather. All right.
See you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Ready to start turning profit yourself? Head to turningprofit.com to step up your real estate investing game. See you on the next episode.